Everything's Coming Up Aces. Written by Drowning in Starlight. Read by SBL. Fandom, the Magnus Archives. Relationships, Georgie Barker and Martin Blackwood and Jonathan Sims. Georgie Barker, Melanie King. Rating, general audiences. Summary. What if Martin worked in the coffee shop near John and Georgie's campus? What if the Powers never even got a look in? Or an exploration of visibility, friendship, and cats. It was the ace batch that caught John's attention. He never really paid much attention to the little coffee shop just off the edge of campus. It just happened to be a convenient distance between uni and the flat he shared with Georgie. He often ended up stopping by after a long day, or during an early morning. It was small, but always bustling, and every single time the server wrote his name as Don, which had led to an undue amount of awkwardness before John had cottoned onto it. It wasn't the Don guy standing behind the counter this time, though. It was a guy John hadn't seen before, standing behind the counter with an air of nervous helpfulness. He was tall, his curly hair disheveled from being pushed out of his eyes. He had three badges on his lanyard, two of them little waving ghosts, like something Georgie would wear, the third the familiar purple, black, gray, and white stripes.
Can I help you?
John blinked, trying to shift gears into human interaction mode. The thing was, he'd known he was asexual since he was 15, when he abruptly realized that all his peers were interested in sex and he just wasn't. But it was only when he met Georgie that he actually told anyone about it. And it was only when he met Georgie that he'd begun to realize that, oh, perhaps he was somewhere on the aromantic spectrum too. Is she your girlfriend? People would ask, or they'd just assume. Hope you and your girlfriend enjoy the meal, or enjoy your date. John loved Georgie. Of course he did. She was his best friend. If he had to date someone, it probably would be her. But that was exactly it. He always thought about it in terms of,
oh, if I really had to. If I was forced to choose.
He hadn't really realized that wasn't a normal thing to do until he'd mentioned it to Georgie and she'd said, oh, I didn't realize you were Aro. It wasn't that he was confused or insecure in who he was. It was just that he wasn't used to seeing people like him and being able to think, oh, they're like me. So here he was, staring at a stranger's ace flag pin in a coffee shop on his way home from classes. The guy had obviously clocked him staring, and John realized too late he'd been giving John a smile a little more cautious and questioning than the smiles he'd been giving to the other customers. Before John could do anything about returning it, though, the guy looked away, coughed, and asked again.
Can I get you anything? Oh, yes. Sorry, busy day. Can I get a caramel latte and an Americano for John, please?
No worries. I'll grab them for you now.
Thank you.
The guy looked a little awkward as he turned to make the drinks, and John hovered stiffly, sinking as far into the background as he could. He was sure Georgie was going to laugh at him when he got home. After a minute, the guy called, Americano and caramel latte for John? And John went up to the counter to grab them. They actually did have John written on them, he noticed.
You know, this is the first time I've ever been called by my actual name here, he said,
trying to make conversation because this coffee shop really is convenient and he doesn't want to be too mortified to come back.
The other guy always calls me Don. Oh, Michael, don't worry, he does it to everyone.
The guy responded, seeming a little surprised at being spoken to so civilly. John winced at the knowledge that he'd probably been pigeonholed as rude customer.
I think he likes the chaos or something. He always called me Marcus, even though I've told him a bunch of times my name is Martin.
John laughed dryly.
I'm in good company then. If that's what you'd call it.
The guy, Martin, replied. John picked up the coffee and almost turned to leave. But...
I like your badge,
he blurted at the last second.
The ace one.
Oh, thank you, Martin said, looking almost sheepish.
It's nice to be visible, right?
Oh, John said.
Yes, perhaps it is. Nice to see other people like me.
Martin smiled. The woman standing behind John coughed pointedly, and John hastily grabbed the coffee cups from the counter.
Sorry, I'm holding up the queue,
he said and turned to go.
Nice to meet you, John,
Martin called after him as he reached the door. John nodded back, trying not to catch the eyes of everyone else waiting. So much for not embarrassing himself. Georgie was going to laugh at him so much.
John!
John opened half an eye, putting his hand up onto his chest to clutch at the Admiral, who made a soft meow of protest.
John, wake up!
Georgie said, woolly scarf flying, heralded by a gust of chilly autumn air as she burst into the living room.
Not asleep,
John mumbled.
What is it?
I met your coffee shop guy.
My coffee shop guy?
The one who had the ace pin.
Oh, Martin?
That's the one. I don't think you told me about him and he went super red. Seemed to think he'd embarrassed himself. I know you said the conversation was awkward, John, but Christ!
You'd have laughed at me.
Georgie patted the Admiral's head, then ruffled John's hair on her way past.
Probably. Oh, I got his number, too.
He gave her a look of surprise.
I thought you... Melanie...
No, not like that, she said, pausing in the doorway to the kitchen.
I've invited him to be on the podcast. Do you want a drink? I love you, John said,
because he did. To say that Martin hadn't made many friends here since he moved was, perhaps, an understatement. He tried. He really had. And everyone was perfectly nice, but he was busy a lot with work and it just hadn't felt important. He knew he was lonely, but he'd always been lonely. And at least since he moved here, he could be lonely without his mother's unsympathetic gaze on him. He was prepared to accept it in exchange for that freedom. He liked talking to the customers at the coffee shop, though. The regulars whom he remembered because he didn't exactly have anything better to do. It was students, mostly, people his own age, and he always felt a pang.
In another life, I'd be in your place.
But he did his best to put it aside. After all, if he had had the opportunity, maybe he wouldn't even have gone to uni. Or maybe he would have hated it. Or maybe he would have been just as lonely on the inside as on the outside looking in. So he took a deep breath and smiled at the customers. He had nice conversations sometimes. Awkward, but nice. Although the conversation he'd had yesterday with this one woman hadn't been awkward at all, at least not on her end. She'd smiled back at him cheerfully, ordered an Americano and a caramel latte, and asked him about his ghost pins. By the time her drinks were ready, he had her phone number, an invitation to be on her podcast, and advice to ignore John's awkwardness. He doesn't mean it. Martin reckoned he was going to like Georgie Barker. reckoned he was going to like the both of them. Four months later, Martin knocked on the door of John and Georgie's flat. He'd been over enough times by now to navigate their rickety old building and to know to pay no attention to the door numbers because Tim, the guy who lived opposite, swept them occasionally to wind John up. Martin had never caught him in the act, but Sasha, Tim's flatmate, popped out sometimes if she heard him go by to drop him a warning. It was nice. He felt strangely included in the chaos of the floor, effortlessly folded into the little theater of the mundane. It still took him by surprise, sometimes, but he liked it. He liked it so much. He'd barely knocked once when the door was flung open and John stood there, wide-eyed. He thrust the Admiral into Martin's arms. "Shh," he said, peering over Martin's shoulder.
"Is everything okay?" Martin asked, startled, accepting the sudden armful of cat automatically.
Georgie appeared behind John, looking almost as disheveled as he did.
"The landlord coming over," she explained.
"He didn't give us any warning this time. We think he suspects."
"Oh, you're not supposed to have the Admiral, are you?" Martin guessed.
John looked away sheepishly.
"No. So, what's your plan?"
"We need you to take him over to Daisy and Bezira's, just for a little bit," Georgie said. "According to them, Mr. Bouchard hasn't contacted them about inspecting their flat, and it's three floors away from ours. Tim and Sasha offered, they haven't been contacted either, but it's so close. It was noisy." The Admiral began to purr, held close against Martin's chest. They all stopped to look at him.
"I'll take him now," Martin said.
"No problem. Good luck with the landlord."
John leant over and gave the Admiral a pat on the head. After hesitating for a moment, he expanded the gesture into an awkward little half-hug around Martin's shoulder. Martin couldn't decide who was more endearing, the cat or John.
"We'll be fine,"
he reassured them both.
"Go on, now."
"Thanks, Martin,"
Georgie told him, pulling John in.
"Let's go and blow Mr. Bouchard away with our complete lack of cat."
"So," Melanie said, sprawled on the sofa, staring up at the ceiling. "Has your Demi, Georgie, John's arrow ace, and Martin's ace, does that mean? Does that mean it falls to me to seduce any ghost we meet?" Georgie waved the question onto Martin. He laughed.
"No, I'd be down for seducing a ghost. In theory, at least. Don't know how charmed the ghost would be, really."
"Oh, don't be ridiculous, Martin," Melanie said. "The ghosts would love you. You're just so... She made a gesture vaguely reminiscent of pinching someone's cheeks.
"Thank you."
John came back in the room and handed Melanie a glass of water. It was the first anniversary of What the Ghost, so celebrations had been had.
"I would not, under any circumstances, seduce or even befriend a ghost," he said dryly. "Ghosts do not exist."
"You don't exist," Melanie told him good-naturedly. Normally, it was impossible to stop the two of them from bickering. But Martin knew they were giving it a rest because it was Georgie's night, and they both adored her.
"At interview a ghost," Georgie said.
"Damn, I really want to interview a ghost. It'd be hilarious, like, what the ghost? This the ghost. We got him."
John laughed, and the sound took Martin by surprise and made him laugh too.
"I'm so glad you guys are here to celebrate this with me," Georgie said. "Honestly, life wouldn't be the same without you.
Melanie sat up to kiss her on the cheek, and John smiled softly.
Happy spooky 1 year, Martin told her. May the Admiral stop crushing recording sessions when you're trying to build the tension this year.
John snorted.
That's likely.
And if it's not the Admiral, it's one of you lot, Georgie teased. So unprofessional.
Yep, that's us, Melanie said. Happy 1 year.
The end.